Perek Rishayin. Last week we went through the Perek quickly, and we learned that a person has two neshamas. He has a lower neshama and an upper neshama. The lower neshama is Nefesh HaBahamas, the upper neshama is the Nefesh HaOlyona. The lower neshama basically takes care of all human functions. Anything that's physically measurable, anything that we can notice in our life functions is performed by the power of the Nefesh HaBahamas, the lower neshama. The upper neshama, we learned, is divided up into five subsections, and the upper neshama has one tachlis and one tachlis only, and that is in order to connect a person to the koichos and shamayim, so that his actions, his mitzvahs in this world, should have an effect upstairs where it counts, and in turn, to create not only an effect from down here leading upstairs, but that conduit that the neshama creates also allows shefa, bracha, to come down from upstairs, down into his neshama, down into him. The neshama elyona, the higher soul, cannot be felt, it cannot be sensed, it cannot be noticed in your body. Anybody that says that they feel their neshama, their upper neshama, it's psychosomatic, it's not true. And the upper neshama is connected to the lower neshama is connected to the body, by way of the dam, the blood. And what comes out is that a person's guf and his two neshamas are linked together, such that the effect of the guf is able to cause an effect in the upper neshama, and vice versa. The upper neshama that's connected to upstairs is able to bring down bracha and shefa all the way down into the guf through it. And now we're going to learn the perek slowly. Chelek Gimel Perek Rishon, Vinyan HaNefesh U'Pu'uloi Seha, about the neshama, or the nefesh, and its actions. Hine, Kvar Nisboer B'Chelek Aleph Perek Gimel, we already explained previously, Inyan HaAdam, the idea of the human being. Shinimsa Boi, Mashaloi Nimsa B'Shum Nivra Acher, that a human being has what no other creation has. Dahainu, namely, Haharkova, a mixture, a blendedness. Shinir kvu boy, shnei mitziuyois rechoikim v'nivdolim zemizeh. There were joined or mixed in him two entities that are very far from each other, very separate from each other, and very different from each other. The human being is a combination of haguf v'haneshama, the body and the soul. V'zeh, and this means to say, number one, kihine yesh ba'odom mitzius nefesh k'moish yesh l'chol balei chayim. A human being has a spiritual component, just like all other living creatures do. Mishameshes l'hargosha v'haskola hachakuka b'tivoy. It controls the feelings and the intellect that's contained in the nature of a person. So, we are talking here about the lower neshama, the Nefesh HaBahamas. And the first thing the Ramchal says is that this lower neshama is shared not only by human beings, but by other living creatures as well. And before we begin, we need to understand that in the Torah, plants are not living things. In science class in elementary school, they teach you plants are living things. In the Torah, they're not living. There's doinim seimea chai medaber. The world is comprised of four types of things. Doinim is rocks, metals, totally inanimate objects. They don't grow. They just sit and do nothing. Seimeach are growing objects, but they're not living. Those are plants and trees. higher living creatures, that's animals, fish, birds, and humans, and medaber is a subcategory of chai. Those are human beings. Jews and goyim are all both in the category of medaber. Now, it's true, it happens to be there's Yushalmi that says the reason why in Arava, as Dalad Minim, in Arava that's dried out, is Pasul. Yushalmi learns it out from Pasuk, Loi HaMesim Yahaleluka. But it doesn't literally mean that Arava, Dalad Minim are alive. They're not considered Chayim. Chayim are only animals. And with that, let's go back to the Ramchal. Ki hine yesh ba'odo metzius nefesh. A human being has a spiritual element. Kmo sheyesh l'kol balei chayim. First, we have to understand what the word nefesh means. The word nefesh does not mean soul. The word neshama doesn't really mean soul either. But the words that we're going to be coming across here, nefesh, ruach, neshama, we're going to see them used in many different ways. In fact, I have to tell you that sometimes when a pasuk will use the word ruach, the chazal, when they quote the pasuk, they're going to substitute for ruach the word nefesh. We're going to see that shortly. They're interchangeable to a large extent. But when we're dealing with the literal meaning of the words, and we're going to try to stick to that here for clarity's sake. Nefesh means a koyach. Nefesh means an ability, a strength. Any ability that something has that is added to the physical makeup of a thing is called its nefesh. Natural forces of nature are called nefoshois. There's nefesh hatzoimeches, the soul or the nefesh, the power of the trees, the growing things. It's not really a soul, but it's a power that they have. The physical makeup. Isn't the power that makes them grow. The power that makes them grow is something super added to the physical makeup, and so it's called a nefesh. Nefesh hatenua, the nefesh of movement, means the power of movement. Animals have a nefesh hatenua. The Rishonim say this, that when we say that Hashem gave to a person various nefoshois, we could substitute the phrase various koichois. The Lashon of the Rambam in Mayor Nevuchim, he says, Koyach yitein ha-nefesh ha-tzoymeches l'kol tzoymeach, Koyach yitein ha-nefesh ha-chayu l'kol chay, v'koyach yitein ha-dabri l'kol medaber. A nefesh, all it means is a power. It's a natural ability, natural power. And so what the Pasuk says regarding a person, v'yihi ha-odom l'nefesh chayu, it means that with the addition of the nefesh, there was nothing added to the guf of the person. There was nothing added to the substance of the person, the physical part of the person. The only thing that was added to him was the koyach hachayim. And any koyach that's added to the choymer, to the physical part, is called a nefesh. In fact, the Zohar HaKadosh says that the Pasuk in Koheles, Kol asher timtza yodcha la'asos b'koychecha aseh, anything that you can do with your strength, do. Or, there's another way to read the pasuk. Anything that you can do, do it with your strength. B'koychecha aseh, depends where you put the comma. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the translation of the word koyach there, koychecha, means your neshama. And so, a human being has a life force, a life power, that's shared by all animals. Mishameshes lahargosha v'haskola, It controls feeling and intellect, hakakuka betivoy, that's in the nature of the human being and the animal. Now, even though that a human being and an animal share a neshama, or a nefesh, we're going to call it a nefesh habahamis, the nefesh habahamis of a human being is considered higher than the nefesh habahamis of an animal. Even though they're both totally animal spirits or animal souls. There are two reasons for this. Number one, there's the svara of the Ralbag, where he says that the nefesh hatzoymeches, the growth force that we have in plants, also exists in live creatures. Live creatures also have a nefesh hatzoymeches. They have a nefesh habahamis on top of that, but the growth is caused by the nefesh hatzoymeches. The nefesh hatzoymeches in the animals is a higher level than the nefesh hatzoymeches in the plants. The reason is because the nefesh hatzoymeches in the animals is a contributor to the entire nefesh habahamis. It's a contributor to the entire whole. And when something becomes, when an entity becomes a contributor to a greater entity, it itself is considered elevated. He says, Moshe l'ma davadoymi, you have a door. There's a door of a house, front door to the house, and you have a door sitting in the lumber yard. The door to the house is considered, even though they're both doors, the door to the house is considered a higher entity than the door that's laying in the lumber yard, because it serves the purpose of helping the house. And so the nefesh hatzoymeches of an animal serves the purpose of being part of the animal, of making the animal grow, which is a greater, a higher task than making the, than making an animal grow. The second reason is that the nefesh habahamis of a human being is totally different than the nefesh habahamis of an animal. Both of them are made of physical things. This nefesh is not really a spiritual entity. It's a physical entity. We're going to see it's made up of physical stuff, but very, very subtle, intangible physical stuff. And the Arizal writes that the nefesh habahamis of a person is made up in a way of the same materials as nefesh habahamis of an animal, but on a higher level of those materials. It's made up of higher stuff than the nefesh habahamis of the animals. So even though the Ramchal said that human beings share with animals the nefesh habahamis, a lower soul we'll call it, nevertheless, the nefesh habahamis of a human being is higher than the nefesh habahamis of an animal. Now, just like we know, we learned last week, that the higher neshama of a person is divided up into five parts, the lower neshama, the nefesh habahamis, is also divided up into parts, is divided up into three parts. We're going to discuss those three parts right now. One is called the nefesh hamarkeves. The soul, and I'm using the word soul loosely, the force or the spirit that keeps something together. This is the soul, we'll call it, of the doimim. It's the soul of the rocks and the soul of the earth. It's the soul of the metals and the minerals. It keeps things together. And we'll go into it in a moment. The second is the nefesh hatzoymeches. There are those that call it the nefesh hativis. That's the spirit, the soul of plants and trees, things that grow. The third is the nefesh habahamis. There are those that call it also the nefesh hachiyuni, and that's the nefesh that all living creatures have. Now, the nefesh hatzoymeches also includes the nefesh hamarkeves, because if the plant or the leaf dries up, it remains a doimen. It's like a stick or a stone. All the nefoshos, any nefesh includes, contains within it all the lower nefoshos under it. So the nefesh habahamis includes also nefesh hatzoymeches and nefesh hamarkeves. The Nefesh HaTzemeches contains also Nefesh HaMarkeves. Now, the Nefesh HaMarkeves, there's a machloikis if it's actually a spiritual entity at all, or even a Nefesh. The Nefesh HaMarkeves, what it does is, it's the Nefesh of the rocks, it's the spiritual or the non physical, the intangible part of the rocks, the metals, minerals. What it does is, it's the force that holds it together. These things are made up of little particles, very, very little particles, and I'm not saying it's molecules, I'm not saying it's atoms, I don't know at what level these particles exist, but however they exist, it's held together by something called the Nefesh HaTzemeches. And not everybody holds, the Ramban brings the Machloikis, whether the Nefesh HaTzemeches is really considered a Nefesh or not. Remember, as a mushal, you can create a robot that moves, that jumps, maybe even that grows, based upon the physical entity. I mean, it grows. It'll look like it'll grow. I'll tell you what the robot will do. The robot will eat. You'll put water in it, and you'll put stones in it, and you'll put sticks in it. And internally, it will take that, it will process the stuff that it put in and make itself grow. But it's all a physical process. It's not a process that you would attribute to a nefesh. So, the fact that a rock sticks together doesn't necessarily mean that there's a nefesh force that's doing it. So there's a machloikis if a nefesh hamarkeves is actually a nefesh. The nefesh hatzoymeches, the same thing. There are more people that hold that the nefesh hatzoymeches is a nefesh, but also there are those that say that the nefesh hatzoymeches is a purely physical and tangible function, kind of like a robot that grows. What the plants do is they take the sunlight and process it. They take the water and process it. They take the minerals from the earth and process it, mix it up a bit, and using some kind of machinery, some internal machinery, it uses that. A computer could do that. A robot could do that to make itself grow. Now, that may be a non-physical force that's doing it, kind of like a soul, or it may be it's the same as a robot. Everybody agrees, as I mentioned before, that plants in Torah perspective are not living things, as opposed to what we learned in elementary school. They're not living things. They're growing things. And there's a machloikis whether the nefesh of the tzemeach is actually a nefesh, means that there's some kind of spiritual or intangible physical entity that's superimposed on the actual cells and mass of the trees, or whether it's just some robotic-like creature, some robotic-like creation that causes itself to grow by processing the physical things that are put inside it. The Ramban brings these two shittas, and the Ramban says, he refers to it as the Das Yevonim, the Greek, the opinion of the Greeks, that the ability to grow in the plant kingdom is also considered a nefesh. And according to them, the words nefesh chaya in the Torah doesn't mean that all nefesh is chayim. It means nefesh chaya. Chaya would be an adjective saying this nefesh is a nefesh of life as opposed to a nefesh at tzemeach that wouldn't be a nefesh of life. It would be a nefesh of growth. The Ramban brings other deis like that, and the Rabbeinu Bachai brings both deis too. That's the Nefesh HaTzemeches. The Nefesh HaBahamis, there's Ramban, and I'm going to quote him now. It's in Vayikra Perik Yud Zayin Pasuk Zayin. He says, quote, V'da'an you should know, ki ka'asher ha'briya mitchila, maschila b'maisa b'reishis b'guf ha'odom, u'b'chol ba'alei ha'nefesh, v'atzimochim v'hamatchois mi'arba yisoidois, ונסחברו הבוסם בכוח אלויקי, לי יויס מהם גוף גס, מורגש, וכל חמשס הרגושויס לגסוסוי. The creation of the world began with the putting together, the composition of all physical things. It started with human beings and animals, plants and minerals being put together from the four yesoidus, the four elements. such that they're able, because of this, because they're put together, the four elements, they're put together in a way that we're able to feel them, to taste them, to see them, to hear them. They are visible to all our senses. And the four elements, we know that even though, you know, the chemists have a periodic table of the elements that have, I don't know how many elements there are these days, but in the Svarim there are four elements. In the periodic table of the elements, it contains four things: Eish, Mayim, Avir, and Adama. There's fire, water, air, and dirt. Everything in the world is comprised of those four things in some combination. Now, this originates from the very, very, very early Svarim. And the Rishonim speak a lot about it and says that the nature of a thing depends largely on the way these four elements are combined in it. Now, we have to understand that it doesn't literally mean fire, water, dirt, and air. A human being is composed of these four elements, and a human being doesn't have fire inside him. But it means the existential nature of fire, the heat of the fire. There's something about fire that we refer to as Eish. And there's something represented by Mayim that we refer to as Mayim. There's some type of force. These four forces, these four elements comprise everything in the world. And most of the things are combined by a combination of these four things in such a way that we could actually sense them. We could feel them. We could taste them. Says the Ramban, Kachoye Yitzira Mishnei Yisoidois. So too, there was a creation that God made some things out of only two of these elements. Min ha'esh v'ha'avir, from fire and air. Now, fire and air, obviously, are much less tangible than the water and the dirt. You can kind of feel air. Everybody knows that air, you know, has weight. When I was a kid, we used to do this experiment where you would take a newspaper and you put a ruler under the newspaper, and half of the ruler would extend off the table, and the other 6 inches would be on the table, and there would be a newspaper on top, and you give the ruler a bang and it would break. It's not the weight of the newspaper that's causing the ruler to break, it's the weight of the air, actually, the force of the air that's preventing the newspaper from rising up when you hit the other end of the ruler. So air is tangible, it's not as tangible as rock. And fire also, it's tangible, obviously, but not as much as water and dirt. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made some creations out of Eish and Avir. V'hoya mehem guf einoy nirgish v'loy musug liachas min ha'argoshos. There's an actual body. There are physical things that are made up of only two of the four elements. You can't feel these. You can't see them. You can't hear them. And you can't taste them. Kasher nefesh habahema einen musegis lahargoshos dakusa. Like the nefesh habahamis, the soul, the physical soul, the animal soul, is not measurable, it's not tangible, it's not feelable, you can't sense it because of its intangible, its subtleness. V'haguf hazehu ruchni. It's not really gashmi, it's kind of spiritual. Because it's made very sublime and very subtle out of Eish and Avir, and kasher ha'arkova b'chol dovar sibas ha'avaya v'ha'hefzid v'murkav mi'aba yisoidois, just like the everything, the cause of existence, of maintained existence of everything, is because of the way it's combined of the four elements. Kachi b'murkavim ha'elu mishnei yisoidois. So too, the things that are combined of two elements. Ki b'hischabrusam yiyye bal haguf chai u'b'hispordam yiyye kemes. Just like the rock is a rock because these four elements are combined in the rock in such a way to make them a rock, so two elements combine to make these animal souls into animal souls, for instance. We know, it says in the Svarim, that the difference between a live person and a dead person is a live person has all his parts combined. A dead person has them separate. The Sfarim explain death very simply. It's kind of like salad dressing. You take salad dressing, right? Has the oil and the vinegar, and you shake it up. You shake it up very, very hard. And now it combines. But it's only a matter of time before the oil and the vinegar separate again, right? It's the same thing with a human being. A human being is a combination of a body and a soul. And it's combined in such a way that a body and a soul aren't really things that go together. They're two separate things, and they try to separate from each other. But there's a force that combines them. But since there's a constantly a counterforce to try to separate them, it's just a matter of time before the counterforce overcomes the force. The guf and the neshama separate because naturally they're supposed to be separated. It's only a synthetic, artificial situation that they're together, and that's what causes death. Life is the combination of the body and soul, and death is the natural state of the body and soul. Death is really natural because the body is where it belongs in the ground. The soul is where it belongs up by Hashem. If you put two unnatural things together, that's life, but it's not going to stay that way. Yeah.
Wasn't Adam Harishon supposed to live forever, but would he be one fate?
Well, Adam Harishon's body was different before the chait. The relation between his body and soul was different. We're going to get to the chapter of Adam Harishon. Secondly, theoretically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can, without a doubt, create a salad dressing that never separates.
Right.
Even though naturally it's supposed to, but the way...
That's a combination of body.
Right, but naturally, unless...
Adam Harishon was natural.
Right, but, well, unless acted upon by some outside force, at the very least, the bodies we have now would just separate. Because the natural state of our bodies is not to be together. In fact, the Sfarim say that the natural state of everything is not to be together. Everything returns sooner or later to its roots. Everything decomposes and returns to its roots. And the body and the soul return to its roots. If you throw a rock up in the air, it'll sooner or later return to its roots on the ground because it's made up of ground. If you take air and you put it under the ground or under the water, unless it's being forced to stay there by something stronger than it, it will return to its roots. If you blow bubbles under the water, it's going to go up. If you're stuck under the water and it's dark and you don't know which way to swim, which way is up, that's what you do. You blow some air out of your mouth and you follow the bubbles. Because the bubbles always go up, back to the air. So too, the body and the soul always want to go back to their roots. And the Nefesh HaBahamis is a physical thing. It's not made of something spiritual, let's say like Torah, or the Nefesh HaElyona, which we're going to be discussing later. The Nefesh HaBahamis, the animal soul of a person, is a very, very, very sublime, very intangible, physical thing. It's different than other physical things in that other physical things are combined of four elements, and the Nefesh HaBahamis is only made out of two. Let's continue in the Ramchal. Inyan HaNefesh HaZois B'chol Balei HaChayim. The idea of this soul that all animals, all living creatures have, Hu Metzius Echod, Dak Ma'oid, it's very, very sublime. Nimshach ubo betoy chazera acharehi koltoy. It is collected and placed inside the zera after the zera is, after the zera is, be, after the baby is conceived. That's what it means. V'hu atzmai mispashei v'hoylech, it spreads out. Uboine es haguf, and it builds the body. Kefima shiroi lemin hahu, according to the nature of that particular species, v'chein mispashek behizgadloi, and it spreads as the body grows, uboi tolui hahergish, v'chein haskola haruuya lemin hahu. Because of this nefesh habahamis, the feelings, the emotions, and the intellect of all species, whatever is appropriate for the species, is created. Now, the first question is, it says, Nimshachu bo, it's collected and it goes into the zera. Where is it collected from? So first, we all need to know that it is not true that God creates souls together with bodies. Bodies are not really created. we know that, like, you can't really create new matter in this world. The bodies are just a combination of matter that already exists. The soul also is not created. There was nothing that God created new after the 6 days of creation. Nowhere. After the 6 days of creation, whatever existed then exists today and will exist forever. There is nothing new that was ever created. That includes physical and spiritual. No new malachim, no new neshamas, no new rocks, no new trees, no new nothing. You could rearrange the matter, maybe even spiritual matter. You can take it apart and rearrange it differently. So you can take the elements that make a cell and add some food and add some milk and add some water and add everything. The thing grows, but there's nothing new created. So neshamas are not created as people are born. There's something called the Oitzer HaNeshamos, the treasury of souls. The Zohar HaKadosh brings it. He says, before God creates people, their souls exist in something called the Oitzer HaNeshamos. God tells the Neshama, go into that Ruach, go into that person, go into that body, and the Neshama goes into the body, and as it's going to fulfill its mission by joining with the body, God tells it, you should know your job in this world is to work hard in Torah and to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs. The Oitzer HaNeshamos is mentioned in a few places in the Zohar HaKadosh, and interestingly enough, it's also mentioned in Rashi in Masechta Yevamos. Rashi didn't have the Zohar. No, we assume Rashi didn't have the Zohar. The Zohar was found, we don't know exactly, maybe the Ramban found it. Around then, Rashi and the Rambam, through the Rambam times, they didn't have the Zohar. However, you will find many times in the Rambam, and here we'll find one in Rashi too, that the source for what they say is in the Zohar and nowhere else. And there are two explanations for this. Either, well, let's say the Rambam, for instance, he knew it the same place the Zohar knew it. And Zohar has to have a source too. So he knew it the same way the Zohar knew it. Or two, the Rambam and the Rishonim had different Midrashim that we don't have anymore. Midrashim not necessarily all in our possession. And there could have been another place that the Rishonim knew it that we don't have it. But if you look at Rashi and Yevamos, Daf Samech, Beis Amud Aleph, there's a machloikis in the Gemara over here. If a person has children and then they die, whether he fulfills Pru or Vu like that. So the Gemara says as follows. Itmar, there was a machloikis. Hayuloi banum vamesu. The person had children and they died. Rav Huna omar kayim pru piri varivya. Rav Huna says he fulfilled pru vu. Rav Yochanan omar loy kayim. Rav Yochanan says he didn't fulfill pru vu. Rav Huna omar kayim. Rav Huna says he fulfilled pru vu. Why? Mishum Ravasi. Diom Ravasi, because Ravasi says ein ben David bo, Mashiach does not come. Ad sheyichlu kol haneshamos shebaguf, until all the neshamos are taken out of the guf and put where they belong. And since these neshamos, even though the children died, they were taken out of the guf, they did something in this world, they did enough for Pruvu to be considered fulfilled. Now, what in the world does it mean they were taken out of the guf? Says Rashi. Kaloimar, taima de pirya varivya. The reason for Pruvu, or really the tam for Pruvu, mishum de Ravasi, is because of what Ravasi said. Vahai, kevan de notlu al yodoi, minishomai sheba oisai oitse. Since this person who had these children took these neshamas out of the treasure house, out of the treasury, Sheshemoi Guf, whose name is Guf, Harikai Mitzvah Piri Varivya, he fulfilled Pruvu. So there are some Oitzer neshamas, the name of the Oitzer neshamas is called Guf. And when the Gemara says Mashiach doesn't come until all the neshamas are taken out of the Guf, it means all the human beings that were destined to be born will be born. They say the Vilna Gaon had suggested, or he was considering the idea of, or he was considering the downside of Cherem Darbeinu Gershom. A person only has one wife. He said it's Ma'akev the Gula, because the slower the children come down, the longer it takes for Mashiach to come, because Ein Ben David Bo'ad, Sheyichla Kol Neshama Shebaguf. And then Rashi discusses it again on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Guf, says Rashi, Pargud Shechoytseitz Ben Shechina L'Malochim. It's a machitza, like a curtain, that separates the Shechina from the Malochim. Of course, this is all metaphorical. It's not literally a curtain. V'shom ruchois u'neshomois nesunois shenivro misheshis yimei habereishis. You hear? There, the neshomois and the ruchois are contained that were created from sheshis yimei bereishis in the 6 days of creation. Ha'asidois lehinosein begufim ha'asidim lehiboris, that are destined to be put inside the bodies that will be created later. So the neshamos always existed. The neshamos of the people that will be born, the neshamos of the people that were born, neshamos of the people that are born. These neshamos were created on the 6 days of creation, and they were placed in bodies later. When the Ramchal says, Nimshuchu bo b'toich hazera, they are taken and placed inside the zera, that's what he means. They're taken and placed from there. Yes?
He's saying created. No.
Normally, the words bria means yesh me'ayin. In Chumash, the word bria is only used when it refers to yesh me'ayin. Yitzira or asiya, some other lashon means always yesh me'yesh. Rashi is not using it in quite that literal sense. It means that the bodies that are destined to be created from whatever matter they are composed of. The matter was already created. In the sense that it's a body, it was never here.
No, I'm talking about the neshama.
No, the neshama was created in the 6 days of Bereishis, Yesh Me'ayin, like everything else. It sits there in the Yotzer HaNeshamas waiting for God to say, you go into that body. You go into that zera. You go into that embryo.
There's some catalyst.
This idea that the neshama is a chelik elokami, number one, it's not referring to the neshama that we're referring to now. It's not referring to the nefesh ha-bahamas. And number two, it's in the Zohar, it's in the Ramban, it's quoted from the Zohar.
But it's in the Ramban,
and it's quoted in the name of the Zohar, that the neshama is a chelik elokami mal, but it's not in the Zohar. You won't find it in the Zohar. There are places, you could look from top to bottom, it's not there. There are places that you can interpret the Zohar to mean that, but the words that are quoted, man denofach medilei konofach, that vayipach biapav nishmas chayim, that God blew into Adam a breath of life, and he who blows from inside himself, you're not going to find that in the Zohar. I'll tell you where it is. It's in the Sefer HaPliya. That's where it is, which is just as good. But it's quoted, the Tani quotes it from the Zohar. The Zohars that we have, it's not there. Or maybe he had some kind of interpretive quote there. But it's in the Sefer HaPliya, it's in the Ramban, it's in the Rishonim, it's all over the place, this quote. The Ramban, a few places, quotes it. But that, we're not talking about this neshama. We're talking about the neshama Aliyah. Now we're talking about the same neshama that simply animals have. Life force, that's right. The Ramban in a few places himself mentions clearly that the neshamas were created a long time ago. Me'oz, he says. And he quotes the Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'nafshei sehem shel tzadikim nimlach. When God created the world, he kivyochol took advice, he asked advice from the neshamas of the tzadikim. That means the neshamas of the tzadikim were there. That's what the Ramban says. He says, v'toyei ruach, Ramban says that people who make mistakes, they think that God creates the souls as people are created. Einokin, it's not true. Ki akel ata inenu oise yesh ma'ayin. Because God currently does not make yesh me'ayin, nothing, not since 6 days of Bereishis. The Rambam writes that in several places. And other Rishonim write it also. Rabbeinu Bachai writes that the neshamas were created in the first day of the Bria. Rashi said during the 6 days of creation, but he didn't fill us in which of those 6 days we're talking about. Other Rishonim say the neshamas were created in the first day. Well, it's a good question. Question is, if the first day before they even went into a guf, they referred to as the neshamas of tzaddikim, then when he goes into a guf, then how could that person be a rasha? There are a lot of answers. It could be that you could take the neshama of a tzaddik and make it into a rasha. You could say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the future and knew which tzaddikim, which neshamas through their bechira would end up neshamas of tzaddikim. A lot of different possibilities. But what's definitely true is that the neshamas were created during the 6 days and not afterwards. Both the neshamas of the tzaddikim and the neshamas of the rishayim. What the Medrash exactly means when he says he consulted the neshamas of the tzaddikim, how could they be tzaddikim? There are several possibilities. But it's not for now. Now, the Ramchal said, Nimshechu bo b'toy chazer acharei koltoy, after conception, the neshama goes into the zera. Now, we need to know that there are different levels of neshama that enter into the body during different phases. There's the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, where Antinoinus asks Rebbe, Me'emesai nitna biyodam, neshama. When is the neshama placed in a person? Mishas pekida or mishas yitzira? Yitzira is the time of conception. Pekida means when the Malach takes that Zera to Hashem and asks, will it be a man or a woman? Will it be poor or rich? Doesn't say, will it be a Tzaddik or a Rasha? But all the non-Bechira aspects of this soul are decreed before conception, when it's still Zera. So, does it have the soul starting then, or does it have the soul later? Omar Loi, so Rebbe told him, Mishas Yitzira, from time of conception. Omar Loi, he said to him, can a piece of meat last 3 days without salt, without putrefying? And if it's true that the zera, even before it there's a conception, has no neshama, it should putrefy. So the Rebbe said, Amar zeh, ze elo mishas pekida. The neshama goes in from the time of Pekida. Amar Rebbe, Davarzel Lamdeni, Antinonis. I learned this from Antinonis, and he had a pasuk to back it up. Mikra Misayeyoy. So there is some kind, at least, as Machloik is exactly what that Gemara is referring to, we'll go into it later. But suffice it to say for now that there is some level of neshama, of spirit that the human being gets, b'shas pekida. Then there's the Alshech. The Alshech says that the neshama is placed in the body 3 days after conception. The Maral says that the neshama is not exact. It's not exactly in the zera, but in the zera, the zera has some power. It has some koyach, some ability to accept the neshama. That's why when somebody hashchas zera is called shvichas domim, because in the zera, even though there's no soul, it's not really murder, but since there's some kind of power there that gives the zera potential to become a soul or to accept a soul, in that sense it's called shvichas domim. So there is something, some kind of spiritual element, either the seat of the soul in the zera, something to that effect. But the neshama itself only comes, like the Ramchal says, achrei koltoy.
is what they have to do. Whether they get it, they keep it or not, that's one problem.
Yeah, but if they'd be more wise, then they'd have more opportunities. No, but if there's more wives, there's more kids. And the neshama itself, the neshama itself, there's other place, there's a Gemara in Menachos that says that the neshama is placed in the child 40 days after conception. And obviously these are different levels of neshama. And there are halachic ramifications to this. Regarding if you kill an Uber, under what circumstances can you do it? And if you do it, what's your status? What's the status of the killer? And it has to do with all of these factors when the neshama is put in. But a human being has a much higher level of intellect than all of them. Gulam, however, in any case, all of this happens through this nefesh, through this life force. According to its natural aspects, according to the peripheral physical elements of each species according to what it is. God plants in each species a formula to become whatever it's supposed to become. In the nefesh of a person, and again, this is talking about the life force, the lower soul, there are many aspects, there are many abilities. Kegoin hadimyon, the imagination. Hazikaron, the memory. Hasechel, the intelligence. Vaharatzon, desire. Kulam koichos banefesh. All of these are functions, abilities of this nefesh. Mugbolim, bigvulim yaduim. Defined and limited by their various limitations, upoilim bidrachim yuchodim, and each one of them works individually. Now, the Ramchal here means several things. Number one, when he says poilim bidrachim yuchodim, that all of these things function individually, he means that the zikorin is not the seichel, and the seichel is not the rotzen, and the rotzen is not the dimyon. We learned last year about Hashem that where Hashem is concerned, there are no aspects. There's no composite nature. So by Hashem, even though we say Hashem obviously doesn't forget anything, and Hashem obviously is not ignorant of anything, and Hashem obviously is not incapable of doing anything, nevertheless, it's not that Hashem has different aspects, that he has a memory, and that he has an intelligence, let's say, but rather we remember things with our memory, and we think with our intelligence, and we imagine things with our imagination. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's say, you'd say he would think of things with his imagination, remember things with his intelligence, then really there is no intelligence, there's no imagination, there's nothing, there's just one entity, it's Hashem. He's Kuloi Poshut. There's no composite nature, because that would make him quantifiable. By human beings, however, they are composite. And just like we said that everything in this world is composite, it's composed of the four yesoides, it's comprised of form and substance, it's made out of different things. That is the nature of all physical things that exist in the universe. They're composite. They're made out of more than one aspect. At the very least, you have form and substance that has to get together and to create something physical. But as a rule, all physical things are made up of other things. They're composites. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu not. Now, the Ramchal is saying that this neshama produces a composite effect on the body. It's not that the neshama functions in one way. This nefesh ha-bahamis, in combination with the nature of the body, produces various different abilities. And one ability does not encroach upon the other ability. Yeah. Say again, please. Right. Right. It didn't have to be that way. That's the way Hashem made it. That's all. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to. That's the way Hashem made it. The way Hashem made the world is that the world is in general, all physical things are made up of other things. It has to be that the world can't be Echad, because if the world, the physical thing would be Echad, it would be Hashem. When we say Hashem Echad, we mean a physical thing can't be Echad. Imagine a physical thing that has no attributes, no form, no substance, no inside, no outside. That's Hashem. It's not a physical thing. A physical thing, by definition, is a creation. That's what the nature of creations are. Now, why, you're going to ask me why it has to be four attributes and not six attributes, six and not eight? That's all the Ratzon Hashem. It's like saying, why does a person have 10 fingers and not 20? I don't know. Hold on, we get there. It's not only those things, there's more than that. But he only brought four. Now, this, we know that the taiva of a person is a function of the nefesh. Rav Sadja Gaon says, because it says, kisaiva nafshecha. When your nefesh would desire something, it's the nefesh, it's not the body, that's in charge of the power of desire. The nefesh habahamis, in any case. The Rav Sadja Gaon says that desire, taiva, is from the nefesh, kas, anger, is from the ruach, and intelligence is from the neshama. In the Zohar it says that a person has three koiches, or three neshamas. One is the koich of the neshama hakadosha, the other one is the neshama of the taiva, and the other one is the neshama of the movement. Now again, we mentioned earlier that in learning this subject, you will see the neshama divided up into various different parts in various different ways. They're not necessarily a contradiction. It's like saying a house is divided up into upstairs and downstairs. It has two parts. You can also say a house is divided up into 10 rooms. You can also say a house is divided up into 4 sections, north, south, east, and west. You can say a house is divided up into inside and outside. They're all true. So if somebody asks you, how many parts does a house have? The question has no meaning, unless you want to know, it says upstairs, downstairs, inside, outside, different parts referring to different rooms. So when we see different parts to the neshama, or different parts of the neshama doing different things, they're not necessarily contradicting each other, because they're all interrelated. Says the Ramchal in Das Tfunois, Hagufu bal chalokim veivorim protiyim. The guf has many parts, and each part does a different thing. The neshama is all one thing, totally different and separate from the guf. The ways of the neshama are completely different than the ways of the guf. It's a different nature, it's a different function, different dynamics, totally. Afilu bin yonei ha'argeshim atzma, even regarding actual feelings, alafi shehi ho'isa kol ma'isei ha'guf ve'yoisa b'soicha, but the fact is that the neshama causes all the activities of the guf when it's in the guf, hi ha'shoimas be'oznei ha'guf. The neshama, the nefesh, hairs through the ears of the body. It's the neshama that sees, the nefesh that sees, through the eyes of the body. There are many nicknames we have for neshamas. If you want a list, I have a list. Reuven Margolis made a list. And some kuntris, nefesh ruach neshama, is one of his svarim. But two of the nicknames are roya or shoimas. Neshama sees, neshama hears. That's really the eyes that hear, the ears that hear. What's happening is that the nefesh is hears through the ears, and the nefesh sees through the eyes. It's not that the nefesh allows the eyes to see. It's the nefesh that sees through the eyes. It's kind of trapped in this guf, and it's forced to use the kalim of the guf in order to function. But it's not that the neshama has different functions of hearing and seeing. It's not the way the neshama works. That's the neshama kind of filtered through a guf. Even though the neshama is the visionary here, it's the neshama that sees. The guf is just dirt. The guf is just a doimim. That's all it is. This is not really the way a neshama sees. The neshama on its own functions in a completely different way than the body. When a human being is in a body, or a human being is alive, a human being can't even imagine this. We mentioned many times that a human being the human mind doesn't create its own knowledge. It just collects knowledge from the outside, rearranges it, and makes things out of it. But if something that we never experienced, we can't imagine. The classic example is you have a blind person, he can never imagine light. There's no way you'll be able to explain to somebody who was born blind the difference between blue and red. You won't do it. And so too, on paper, the blind person, though, can prove that there's light out there. He'll be able to prove there's a difference between blue and red, but he won't understand what it means. It'll be gibberish to him, even though on paper it works. So too, we understand there are things, I know if somebody tells you infinity. We can't understand what that means. What does it mean? Say space never ends. It drives kids crazy in school when the teacher says that. What do you mean it never ends, teacher? Well, it can't not end. Or it's worse, the teacher says, all right, so space ends. Just made it worse, not better. That you can't imagine. If space ends, then what happens? It's constantly expanding universe. That's very nice. So what's beyond the expansion? All of these things we could prove on paper, but we cannot imagine. So too, the fact that a neshama functions in a way different than the guf, we could prove on paper, so to speak. But there's no way that we're going to conceptualize that. Okay, but because it functions the neshama through the eye, therefore we refer to the eye as the thing that sees. V'chein kol shara tashmishim. Ach klolahu. But the rule is, sh'aneshama hi min nivra echad, the neshama is a type of creation, rochoik bin yonoi mikol darkei aguf lagamri, completely different. Dissimilar to the guf in all ways, totally. Aval hu nivra b'chukoi lasis kolmar shemushrish be'ivori haguf lefi tivom. It is created with within its nature is the ability to animate and give function to all the body's avarim, according to the nature of those avarim. V'hine he toisvis b'chukois ho'ele, v'oisa b'guf kol ha'maisim ho'ele, al'kein misyachsim kulam aleha. That's why we say the neshama is what's hearing, the neshama is what's seeing, but it's not really what's happening. V'harizem mamish kinyin, Hashleimus shelo yizborach legabi hamidus haprotiyos asher rotzabom kein l'shleimus shum inyin min hamidus ve'ele klal. Aval ele hamidus protiyos asher rotzabom u'bolos u'mishroyos b'shir shirotzabahem. It's like a moshel. A moshel, it's analogous to Hashem. It's not comparable, it's analogous to Hashem. Because Hashem has midus, we know. And when we say Hashem has midus, it doesn't really mean Hashem possesses midus. Hashem is comprised of midus. Or Hashem has possesses midus. That's not what we mean. Hashem doesn't possess anything. There's nothing superimposed on him. There's no measurable way to describe him. There's no quantifiable things about him. There's no midus. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things, the result of which seems like certain midus. Seems like they're the result of certain midus, and that's how we refer to Hashem's midus. And so too with the neshama. The neshama also, it doesn't really have separate functions. This that the Ramchal says, that the neshama causes the separate functions. It doesn't mean those functions are functions of the neshama. It means they're functions of the guf, which is animated through the neshama. As far as the statement that the Ramchal made, that the nefesh is in charge of the intellect and the feelings of a person. There's Ramak that says there are four spiritual aspects of a person: seeing, hearing, smelling, and speaking. And he says, even though that some of these things are functions of the Nefesh HaBahamis, there's no question that the ability to smell and to hear and to see that an animal has is similar to that of a person. And it's no question that the seichel of a person is different than the seichel of an animal. And Vaharaya, he says, speech is the proof. Because speech of an animal is just sounds that they make. Moo, meow, yap, yippity yap. The animals, they don't have a language. Not really a language. When it says, Shlomo HaMelech knew the language, it doesn't mean it's a language. It makes no sense. Not really words. Just imagine. Even Pete doesn't make any sense. I mean, just think about it. I mean, people, even human beings, don't understand the language of other human beings unless they're taught it. For an American in China, they won't understand one word he's saying. There has to be an educational system to teach people language. It's not a natural thing. Animals, even if you're going to say that animals have language, like if you take a horse from China and you give him the horse in Africa, how in the world is he going to know the language of the African horse? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. It's not language, it's not words. Words are a creation of an intellect. The animals, they don't have language, they have like body language, I guess you could say. And even though humans have different body language, you know, where they are, more or less, but there's a big common denominator. Animals just have grunts and growls, and it's not speech, it's not language in any sense of the word that we refer to human language as language. Human language are words that were created by the intellect of a person, different sounds to mean different concepts. They were creations of a person, or Lashon HaKodesh given by Hashem, whatever it is. But they are intellectual symbols. They are verbal symbols that you need an intellect to interpret. Animals don't have that ability. They can't make languages. It's a universal language of the species. We use language in very loosely in this way. So it's not nearly the same as a person. So even though human beings have a language and animals, kivyochel, in some sort of way have a language, it's totally not the same thing. So too, when we say human being has nefesh habahamis and animals have nefesh habahamis, we have different functions. But we have the same kind of functions, but they're really totally different. Now it's very interesting, the Ramchal wrote that even amongst animals there's difference in their intellect and everything. The Sefer Ikrim writes that, there are four types of things in the world. Doimim Tzameach Chayim Medaber. Doimim Zarak. Tzameach is a plant. Animals are Chai and human beings are Medaber. So the Sefer Ikrim says they're kind of like links between the species. Kind of like missing links, you know, that link them. He says the sponge is like in between the Doimim and the Tzameach. It's not quite a tzemeach, not quite a doimim. That's what he says. No, I'm sorry. It's not the sponge. It's the, what do you call that thing? The sea anemone. A thing that like grows on the bottom of the ocean. It has these tentacle type things. What? It looks like a mushroom that somebody chopped off the top a lot and made it into, and shredded the top. It looks like a mushroom that somebody shredded the top. It's like a sea plant. So he says that's like a between Doimim and Tzameach. He says the sponge in the ocean, like. a sponge is between Tzemeach and Chai. It's not quite a Chai, but it's not quite a Tzemeach. It's like above a Tzemeach, less than a Chai, he says. And guess what he says is between the Chai and the Medaber, between animals and a person? Monkeys. He says monkeys are between animals and people. No. So there are different levels of Doimim Tzemeach Chai Medaber, and they're in between. Now, when we say Rotzen, and the Ramchal says that the Rotzen is the function of the Nefesh HaBahamis, there are two types of Rotzen. He doesn't mean the Rotzen Sichli. There's a desire that animals have to do things, maybe to protect themselves, maybe survival instincts. That's what we're talking about, the Rotzen over here. But the Rotzen Sichli is a different story. The Rotzen Sichli is somebody who wants good because it's good, or maybe somebody wants bad because it's bad. But the ability to distinguish between good and bad, between things that are healthy and not healthy, you know, to stay away from things that are dangerous and not dangerous. Animals don't have that. Animals don't know if an animal wouldn't know if smoking causes cancer or not. They wouldn't want to stay away from a cigarette because it causes cancer. They have some kind of natural survival instinct, but it's not an intellectual assessment of what's good for it or bad for it. Human beings have a intellectual rotzen, which is a function of bechira, that a person chooses what to do to himself and for himself. That type of desire, a person only wants to be good, that we're not talking about over here. That's a different story. So now, one more thing, this Nefesh HaBahamis, giving kind of a preview, we're jumping a bit, but it's good to know what happens to the Nefesh HaBahamis at the end of the day. The end of the day, when a person dies, the Nefesh HaBahamis ends up in the ground together with the guf. The Nefesh HaBahamis is a physical entity. As we said, it's created out of two of the elements that exist in the world, two of the four elements. It's a physical entity. It's very sublime, it's very non-tangible, but it's a physical entity. And as a physical entity, it doesn't end up in the Olam HaNeshamos. It doesn't end up upstairs. It ends up downstairs with the body. And the Svarim actually bring a posuk in Koheles. Now, I'm quoting a pasuk in Koheles as the Medrash Tanchuma quotes it, which is not exactly the way it's written in Koheles. The Medrash Tanchuma, Vayikra Oisches, says, one of the reasons for Karbonis is to distinguish between a human being and an animal. Lahavdiloi min habehema, shloi tered nafsho lishol tachtis kmoi habehema, shioiredes nafsho lamata lioretz. That a person's neshama should not go down to the earth like an animal's nefesh. The nefesh habahamis of an animal goes down, ends up in the earth. Kmoi shenemar, like it says in the pasuk in Koheles, mi yoidea nefesh ha'odom ha'oilehi lamalo, the soul of a person or the spirit of a person, the nefesh of a person, rises up, the nefesh habahema hayoredes hi lamata, but the nefesh of an animal gets lowered below down. Now, in Koheles, it's Kapitel Gimel Pasuk Chafal, if it actually says, mi yoidea ruach b'nei odom, ha'oile hi lamala, v'ruach habahema hayoredes hi lamata. In any case, as I said, the words nefesh, ruach, you're going to see them interchangeably. And here's a very, very strong example of interchangeable words. The Medrash is quoting a pasuk one way, which is not the way it actually says so in the pasuk. Now, the Svarim bring this pasuk, nefesh habehema yeredes lamata, to show that the nefesh habahamis, even if a person, goes down to the ground. It doesn't end up in olam hanishomis.
because it's a physical thing. Because the nefesh ha-bahamis of a person and the nefesh ha-bahamis of an animal, even though they're on different levels, they're both nefesh ha-bahamis, and they're both physical things, and they both end up in the ground. Forget about Forget about Gilgulim for now. Forget about Gilgulim. Even you don't have to forget about him for now. You can forget about him for a long time. But that's not the topic here. Now, right now we're just talking about the nefesh ha-bahamis. Nefesh ha-bahamis goes down to the ground. The nefesh ha-al-yoyna goes up. And the nefesh ha-bahamis is really what animates the guf. It gives it its taiva. And the war between the guf and the neshama, as we're going to see, is actually a war between the nefesh ha-bahamis and the neshama ha-al-yoyna. That's what it is. The guf, the nefesh ha-bahamis, you could think of it as part of the body. You could think of it as part of the body. It's a bodily attribute. And it gives the body its desire, it gives the body its animation, it gives the body its spiritual aspects. But it's all physical, it's animal spiritual aspects. Emotional aspects, you know, intellectual aspects in an animal sense. Now questions, are there any questions left? Right. Question, if the Ramchal said last week, he didn't say it last week, we repeated it last week. If the Ramchal was quoted last week as saying that the neshama is not, you can't sense it, you can't feel it, it's not measurable or tangible in any way whatsoever, how is it that certain tzaddikim were able to recognize things on people beyond what we could recognize? The answer is they didn't see the neshama as such. A person's actions have an effect on their body as well. A person's face, for instance, in certain ways that I wouldn't be able to tell you, but it says that it's true. It reflects what's inside the person. Now we are able to recognize if a person's angry or if a person's happy, or if a person's depressed or sad based on his facial expressions. But there is a more complex and involved way to read people's faces or other parts of people that are able to indicate spiritual status of a person, various different things. It doesn't mean that you could actually see with your eyes a person's neshama. That doesn't happen. You don't need to see the neshama. Remember, neshama is connected to the nefesh ha-bahamis, which is connected to the guf. It's all interrelated. There's a domino effect over here. You know, we don't know exactly how or what, but there are ways to be able to recognize this. Yeah.
It could be the neshama that affects them physically, because for instance, they've done in numerous magazines and newspapers, they've put a picture of a person before he committed a murder, then afterwards, and you can literally see a big difference. Could that possibly be the neshama that affects them?
Well, it could be the fact that this is like hands are splattered with blood. They're able to tell or something. No. You're asking me why a guy who just murdered somebody looks different than somebody who didn't in pictures?
The same person?
Listen, I don't know. I know that when they bring a person, a murder defendant to trial, that wouldn't be considered proof, would it? No, it wouldn't. And I'm sure that in 99.9999% of the cases, the pictures wouldn't be different. If in some magazine they had some article, first of all, shouldn't be reading such magazines. Junk. Secondly, who knows if what it says is true. Thirdly, if what it says is true, it has nothing to do with anything that we're learning here tonight. That's all physical stuff. It has nothing to do with the neshama. Absolutely zero.
Thank you.
a question. Right, like question. First, in general, what's the point of creating categories? What's the difference how many neshamas we have? What's the difference how many nefashos we have? And two, especially if we're dealing with machloikasin, and if a doimim has a nefesh, if a tzemeach has a nefesh, why do we need to know this? Right, basically like that. If there's an afkamina in halacha, actually sometimes there is. Remember last week, we were talking of the neshama yaseira on Shabbos, if you want to understand what it is. The neshama that goes up at night and comes down, if you want to understand what it is. All these things are Torah. And in general, it's Torah. It's not just metaphysics. It's all Torah here. That's Pshat and Pasuk in Kehelis, we just learned. That the Nefesh HaBahamis goes down. Well, what is the Nefesh HaBahamis? What does it do? What's Pshat in the Pasuk? All this comes to us through Torah. All this is from the Zohar, from Chazal, from Sukkim, and it's part of learning Torah. If you want to know if there's an afkamina lahalacha, usually there's not. Sometimes there is like differences in neshama, differences regarding the halachas of abortions. By the way, depend upon that Gemara that we said about at what point in time does the neshama enter into the body. Before 40 days, there's a lot more flexibility al pidin than after 40 days because of that. And, various things like that. So there are nafkaminas, but even if they are not, these are psukim, these are midrashim, this is for us to know. Now, also, as long as we ask the question, I may as well tell you that in the Svarim of the Rishonim, they considered it extremely important, vital, to learn from all the limudim, to learn and understand about the neshama. Das atzmecha v'da achakach das elokei avicha. First understand yourself and then you can understand God. The neshama in Chazal is given as a mashal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions in this world. There's a lot that we could learn about Hashem and about the Torah from the neshama. The neshama is actually the closest thing to Hashem that exists in the world. And as we go later on, we're going to see a lot about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in the world through what Hashem did in the Shema. The Medrash Tanchuma is the first place that I know of that calls a human being a microcosm of the universe. Olam HaKotan. And the human being is a microcosm. If you want to understand how the universe works, how everything works, you have to look at a human being. The Ramchal mentions that if you know to look in Das Tfunois, says even the physical body of a human being, human being is created with doubles, two hands, two eyes, two nose, two hands, two eyes, two nostrils, two arms, two legs. What's with the twos? She says it's because the world has always two forces, a right and a left, and each one means something. The human being is actually a marshal. Pasuk says, "Mibsori echze Hashem." You could see Hashem through you. That's your guf, the neshama surely. But before we get to the Musar part, we have to get the Yesoidis. You mentioned the Ramchal and Derech Hashem in particular. It's the only Sefer that you're going to find like this that was not talking to any particular need. It was not addressing any particular need. He was not addressing the Nevuchim of Klal Yisrael. He was not addressing Chassidus. He was not addressing Tzadikim. He was not addressing his particular Talmidim. This is mamish, meat and potatoes, basic Judaism. That's what this Sefer is about. It's true that in the first chapter he said there's a mitzvah to know, mitzvah deraisa, kol ish miyisrael tzorech leida. Everybody has to know about Hashem. This doesn't go in that category. It's not a mitzvah deraisa to know this, in that sense. But it's a mitzvah to know Torah, and this is part of Torah. And in particular, this particular part of Torah is extremely useful and even vital in knowing other parts of Torah. There are svarim written specifically on this topic. The Chayvus Halvavus wrote a sefer Torah Sanefesh, just on the neshama. Tagmulei Hanefesh, Olam HaKotan. There are so many svarim written just on the topic of the neshama. Probably more Hegyon HaNefesh, probably more than any other topic in the world. The topic of the neshama is discussed. There's so many svarim that start off with the topic of neshama. Let's start off with what's in the neshama. Because das atzmucha v'dacha kach das alakei avicha. And as we go on, we're not going to touch too much into the halacha l'maisa of this, but we're going to mention as we go along. Okay. Yeah, well, nefesh, it is interchangeable. In the Torah, nefesh is used to mean a person. No. They have multiple meanings. Ruach
acher. Not very frequently, ruach is.
It doesn't matter. There are multiple meanings. Nefesh is used to mean a person. Shivim nefesh, right? A ruach acheres means a different idea. It's ruach also means the wind, right? They mean different things, and they're interchangeable. But one thing you do need to know, the word neshama is used nowhere in Tanakh except regarding people. Nefesh is nefesh kol chai. Nefesh is used regarding animals. Neshama you will only find in Tanakh regarding a human being. That's because neshama is, in the literal, the legal translation of neshama, it means only what a human being has. Everything else is nefesh and ruach, and it's very interchangeable. In neshama is more. It's the neshama halyoin. It's not just the intelligence. The neshama is.
What is the most important part of intelligence? Is that planning part of intelligence?
That's not the.
What is about intelligence that makes?
Bechira. The most important part of intelligence is bechira, for you to choose right from wrong.
Planning is part of that.
It depends what you plan. It depends what you plan. If you plan. It's not the same planning. They're not planning with free will. It's some kind of instinctive, programmatic planning. You can program a robot to plan also. You can program a robot to take into consideration various different what-ifs, what suggestions, various different things, and it runs a program, and then it comes up with an idea. Theoretically, you can even... Actually, you can't program it to do completely random, but you can program it to be unpredictable. To program something to be random is an oxymoron. You can't program something random. What they do when they program random numbers and stuff, they do tricks like they'll tell the computer, they'll ask the computer will find out what time is it and how many seconds have elapsed in the last minute. And they'll use that number as a random number or something. It's not really random. There's a cheshbon behind it. You can't program something to do something random. But it's mechanical and animal instincts could plan, but it's not the same as human planning. They can make decisions, but it's not the same as human decisions. It's robotic, it's mechanical, it's instinctive. It's not Bechira. Bechira is not part of Nefesh HaBahamas. Bechira is the Neshama HaLyayna, endows us with Bechira. Animals don't have Bechira, and even we only have Bechira regarding 613 things. Bechira is, we said, the Ramchal said, the Nefesh HaBahamas controls physical functions, physical desires, physical thinking, physical thought, things like that. Bechira, all things spiritual that have to do with Hashem, that's the